Good morning, brethren. It's always good to say good morning. We have to say good afternoon in the Greensboro area, but always glad to come over to see all of you. I don't know about the weather in this location, but I've been dealing with a lot of storms in the area where I live. It's been somewhat of a hassle for me to try and keep up with what's going on, especially the wind storms that we've had. And I've counted six trees, I think, huge trees, that has blown down in my yard. Two of those were on my outbuildings, and so I find myself on top of one of the outbuildings with a chainsaw on the roof, trying to cut the tree up so I could get it off. But there's been a lot of wind storms and things, and we've had some in the first part of the week and some in the middle of the week. So it has deteriorated some of the things that I wanted to do. One of the things was I had to change my topic for today. I was going to speak on relationships within the family. So I'll have to do that at another date when I come over. I had to change to another title because I had other things that came up suddenly, and I just did not get around to finishing the sermon that I wanted for today. But I'm glad to see all of you, and certainly I think we all can agree that all of the things that we have been seeing and reading about in the newspapers certainly tell us that we are in a period of the end time. And because of that, sometimes it's easy for some to become unsettled and disoriented in this confused world that we live in. The world around us is smoldering embers that we soon burst into flames that will bring about the time of Jacob's trouble. And we've heard of that many years. But to avoid becoming unsettled and disoriented in this evil, confused world, one needs to know and to understand his or her purpose in life. And in the church of God, spiritually, we need to stay focused and have a deeper understanding about the purpose for which we were called. For most churches in the world today, the church is mostly a social club and a place to be seen or to be noticed and as outstanding member or some community, some famous office in society. So it brings about a name famous thing. But that's not so in the church of God, the church that Jesus built. This church Christ built is called to do a job. God has great purpose in mind for his church, and the purpose we find some information on. We read about that in Matthew chapter 28. So if you would turn there, in Matthew chapter 28, we're just going to read two verses here, Matthew 28, verse 19, and also verse 20. Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we read practically the same words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So God is preparing His church, not only for this time in history, but for the future. We are to make the necessary changes in our life to set the right godly example as we prepare ourselves for doing the work of God. In times past, and I know that some of you have been in the church for many, many years, but in times past, when people left the church, especially if they were close friends or family relatives, it was a common thing to hear people say, well, maybe they were not converted. And we hope, they would say, well, we hope and pray that they were not converted because we did not want them to end up in the lake of fire. So it was common then to hear people make those expressions. And in Revelation chapter 20, there's two verses there. I asked you to notice at this time as to why they felt this way in hoping that those that walked away from the church was not converted. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, it said, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And once we think about these things, we must agree then to turn our back on God's calling is a serious matter. It's dangerous to do that. And I'll show you what the scripture says concerning this. Turn to Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we will read verses 4 through 6. Verse 4, Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again through repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God, and to put Him to an open shame. The main point here then, brethren, is in this verse 6, is that we must be sure that we never fall away. And to be sure of this, we must stand strong. Stand strong in the faith, and fight Satan with all our being, using the advice given to us by Apostle Paul. Now, Paul certainly encouraged Timothy about this same situation. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to read verse 12. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And Paul says these words to Timothy, and he's saying those words to us today. Verse 12. First Timothy 6. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So those of us in the church today must continue to fight the good fight. For some reason, many in the body of Christ along the way believe that the Christian walk of life is supposed to be an easy, breezy walk, as if we were walking in a park or someplace. And life is supposed to just flow easy, have an easy span of life. But that is not the way life is constructed, brethren. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to go back there just for a moment to read verse 13, because here Christ gives us the answer of how it's going to be in this lifespan. Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." So the word "endure" shows that along the way in life, we will face different trials. We will be faced with trials and tests. Life is not easy at times for us, brethren. We know that. And this is one of the main points that Christ is teaching us here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13 is that if we are to receive the prize, we must endure to the end. After many years of effort and try and striving to obey God, some could become tired and discouraged. It is even conceivable, brethren, and very tragic, but some could turn their back on this way of life, and that would be very sad. Yet God does not want even one person to miss the opportunity to have eternal life in His kingdom. 2 Peter, if you will turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, we see practically the same thing. Paul says, "Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." This is God's desire for all of us. After all the suffering that Christ went through, because He loves us so much, brethren, and wants all of those that He has called and those who He will call in the future to become His sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, there will be some that will turn their back on God and refuse His instructions. And this is no surprise to God, but it does grieve Him. It grieves God to see this, to see those He has called decide to walk away from His way of life. So I'd like to title this sermon today, "Staying in the Race." We want to look at this as a race that we are running. There is so much to be said about enduring to the end. In the Scriptures, Christ talks about enduring to the end. Paul talks about enduring to the end. Christ talks about enduring to the end. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about all of those heroes there that endured to the end. There is so much to be said about endurance. But But in the scriptures, we find that endurance is coupled with running a race. In a world of competitive sports, we find many good and promising athletes. They will compete for a title and even dream of obtaining a prize. But we realize that relatively few will pay the price of intense physical training and years of preparation that must take place prior to the day of competition. So we know, brethren, that, you know, being a top athlete is it's strenuous. And we see these people, especially in the sports arena, football players. We see them that go through a lot of physical training, preparing themselves. Also, you know, they on the court, those that are playing tennis, another strenuous type sport. And they work hard because they know they must prepare themselves for the day of the competition. Even with those who try, many will fall out of the race somewhere along the line. The scriptures draw a parallel from this metaphor as the endurance that is required for a Christian. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Here we have example given to us by Christ using a parable. In Matthew chapter 13, begin reading in verse 18. So therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when in tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed hears, bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So in summation of these verses, the difference in these results was not the seed. The seed represents the gospel of the word of God. The difference was where the seed fell and the different ones who heard the word. Now, Christ is not saying that 25% of those who heard the message would believe, but he was saying that the majority would not respond positively to the good news. So in this parable, Jesus demonstrated why the Pharisees and the religious leaders rejected his message. They were not prepared. As we take a closer look at this parable, we see that there is nothing wrong, as I said, with the seed. But there are some problems with the soil. because the seed fell by the wayside, and some was on stony ground, some among thorns, and there were some seed that fell on good ground, good soil. And those seeds, in verse 23, we see that those seed produce fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So again, the message in these verses shows the conditions of the person's mind and willingness to accept the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. So the scripture said we are to run with patience, endurance, persistence, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we find that, and we won't turn there, but we find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. In 1 Corinthians, because Paul is again, comparing this endurance to the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, begin reading in verse 24. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So this is an attitude that Paul is talking about here, the way that we should be striving to run this race. In verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. There I run thus, says Paul, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So from the scriptures here, brethren, we can see various aspects that must be considered regarding the race that is set before us. The need for endurance. The focus of our vision, being obedient, self-discipline, and the desire to win. You know, this is one of the things that, you know, we go out to fight the fight. You know, we should have this attitude that we are going to win no matter what. And if we like in any of these areas, we will become vulnerable to defeat and failure. So endurance implies opposition that we must be faced with. You know, Jesus gave several promises. One we find in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we notice verse 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. Christ said, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sit down with my Father on his throne. So there must be obstacles, things to overcome. And if we are ready to lay hold on the prize, Apostle Paul continually exhorted Christians to continue in the faith. The need for endurance in the Christian life is crucial. It's a crucial thing. When Jesus encouraged the church in Philadelphia to hold fast, what did he mean by that? Hold fast. Revelation chapter 3, once again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So here we see there is a possibility that someone, if we become slack, it's possible that someone could take our crown. Christ did not mean that we continue in the same level of knowledge and commitment and experience that we have now. When he said, hold fast to what you have. I mean, it's not a place that we come to a standstill and say, well, you know, I've came this far and I'm just going to lay back and take life easy and I'll be okay. No, we need to have a vision. We must not only go on to a higher position in spiritual maturity, brethren, but to continue to run the race as to achieve the goal. Walking with God is an uphill climb. We must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ strived to reach perfection. The trials and tests in life is not easy. And Christ knew that. It would be difficult at times for many of us to endure. But notice what Apostle Paul was inspired to write in Galatians chapter 6. Because it's a warning for all of us. In Galatians chapter 6, I've seen it happen many times. It's shocking. But it caused those to walk away from the truth of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we must, brethren, we must not become dissatisfied, become discouraged, and just decide, well, I'm just going to walk away from it all. The scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13 practically says the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. And this is a warning again from Apostle Paul. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. See, this is what Satan would have you do. Become disheartened and just give up, walk away from the truth of God. At times we may feel that it is all we can do just to hang on. And it would be easy to take a break. Why don't I just take a break and just not attend Sabbath services for a while and see if I can get myself straightened out. It doesn't work that way. Because the scriptures condemns anyone that decides that they want to stay away from honoring the Sabbath. And when we do that, we become weaker and weaker, vulnerable to Satan and his tactics. You don't have anything to fight with. Nowhere in the scriptures, nowhere in the Bible, are we promised that the Christian way of life is going to be easy. You won't find that in the scriptures anywhere. 2 Timothy chapter 3, once again. And Apostle Paul with his instructions to Timothy in verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Says, yes, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, didn't say maybe, said will suffer persecution. There will be trials. There will be tests for all of us. But Christ said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, John chapter 16 and verse 33. Verse 33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this gives us the opportunity to know that no matter what we are confronted with, brethren, Christ can deliver us. In the book of Hebrews, the author is comparing the Christian way of life to a race, as we said, and he isn't talking about a 100-yard dash. But he is referring to a marathon, a race that requires endurance, a race that requires preparation. As the author draws our attention to the Hebrews in chapter 11, where he mentioned many of the great heroes of faith. These were people who ran the race that they had been given. They did not run the race perfectly, but they ran. They did not quit until the race was finished. They endured unspeakable pain and suffering, yet they ran. All of these heroes mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 were just ordinary people like you and I. But they kept the faith. They endured the trials and tests and finished the race. When there is a race to be run, the wise runner must make careful preparation. Same is true in our Christian way of life. Brethren, we will never reach our fullest potential for God until we are willing to make the preparation and sacrifices that are necessary for running the race. So let's notice some points in the first part of chapter 12. In Hebrews, that is very easy to read over and not get the full meaning of it. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, there is no doubt that we are called to lay aside, repent of sin. We all know that. We ought to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. So we see two things that we have been admonished to do in verse 1. And this is the part that so many people read over, because there's two parts, two very important points in this one verse. The author of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight. That's one. Now there's another one. And the sin. See, there's two things here, the weight and the sin. So what is the weight that we must lay aside? We've always talked about the sin, so what is the weight? We all have weights. I have weights. You have weights. But we are admonished to lay those things aside. They are very important to identify and to see why these weights can slow us down, why we are running the race. So let's notice an example on this, and there are many, many, many examples that we could make in comparison with this. But I'll just give you one that we all can understand, and you can sort out all the other weights that you have. Because, as I said, we all have weights. But what if you were working two jobs? And many families do this. And on Friday, you are so tired and exhausted that you cannot read your Bible. You fall asleep saying your prayers. You are so wrapped up in your job that you don't have time to communicate with your family. So make no mistake, brethren, when it comes to shedding weights and distractions, there is no substitute for the direction by the Holy Spirit. Now, the weight here with the jobs, it takes some planning. So the individual may have to plan around some long hours or something that he's been working so tirelessly. Or he may want to pick another time to, rather than waiting up till Friday, he may want to pick another time to do his intense Bible studies. He should pray daily, of course. But maybe, you know, God did not set a specific time for us to pray. But the scripture says, pray always. You have a window there that we could pray any time that we want to pray. Walking by the wayside, driving, of course, your car. I've heard a lot of people say that they pray on the way to work. But if I want to put my prayer communication off, I've got my mind on other things, so I wait up to Friday night and I'm so tired, I only pray one day out of a week, which is devastating to do that. But it's all kind of adjustments, brethren, that we can make to fulfill and to take care of this weight. See, there's things, I want to explain this so we don't get the wrong understanding about it, but weights sometimes are not necessarily a sin. The weight is not necessarily a sin. But if we let that go long enough, it can become a sin to us. So the author here says, lay aside the weight and the sin. So there's ways to do this. The second thing we were admonished to do in verse 1, of course, is to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. These are the ones that have become a habit. Laying aside sins. You know, we do little things that if we do them long enough, we feel comfortable in doing them. You know, when we do them on a daily basis, we don't think about them because we've done them so long. See, that comes from the weight. The weight was carried so long that it became a sin, you don't recognize it. So we have the weight has turned into a sin habit. And we go around with that. So the author says, lay aside, you know, those things. We know, we understand, all of us know where we are weak. And there are sins that do not tempt us all the time. These are the ones that we become comfortable with. But there are other sins that are a constant source of temptation. But whatever the case is, brethren, we are to get rid of all of these things because they slow us down and they hinder us from spiritual maturity. So God wants all of us to advance in a spiritual setting. I say this many times, but never become satisfied with your spiritual growth. Always seek to do better. And Satan wants you to be satisfied, you know, because he comes along in your weakest moment and he will inject something into your mind or your thoughts and cause you to commit sin. So never be, always be strong in the way of your thoughts. And that's why I urge everyone to always take advantage of meditation. When we meditate, we always have strength that comes from God. It gives us the faith to endure. Now in Romans chapter 6, because this verse goes back to those little things that we become comfortable in, and we become comfortable in them so much that we start to obeying those little things. But those little things are wrong. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. So we recognize that. We want to get rid of. In verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So whatever the sin is, it must be stripped off and avoided because it will hinder us in our spiritual race. And it can and will entangle and trip you up and cause you to lose out on that race. Hebrews chapter 12, once again. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So in the Christian life, we have the perfect example. That example is Jesus Christ. A cross that was a humiliating thing. It was designed back in those days for criminals, for those whom society regarded as the scum of humanity. And yet we see Jesus Christ having to go through with this, gave up his life. Why? Because of the love for us. He was humiliated on the stake, abused, and finally put to death. The race that is set before us must be run with patience. It must be run with endurance. The need for endurance in the Christian life is crucial. Wherefore, we realize it or not, whether we realize it or not, but there is a continual warfare that takes place in our life to defeat the enemy. In 1 Corinthians, now let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where I mentioned that meditation comes in. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you may have a thought that comes through your mind that's not in keeping with the Scriptures. But we see here that we can bring those into captivity. You know, being a soldier is not enough to win the war. We must actively fight a good fight. All the weaponry in the world will not do us any good unless we actively resist the onslaughts and attacks of the enemy. And going back to Ephesians, we have a note here as well in the Scriptures from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Just another reminder. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are things to remember when running the race, brethren. Remembering the wording, the race that is set before us. Well, this gives us a greater challenge because we, each one of us, we have our own race to run. That means I cannot run the race for you, and you cannot run the race for me. The race we are running, brethren, has been prepared, designed individually by God, and the best thing that we can do to run this race God has given us is to do our very best. Running the race God has given to us with all of our God-given ability. looking into the author and the finisher of our faith, we find that the author of Hebrews gives us a clear picture of Jesus as he ran his race and he ran it well. Christ's race was hard. It was difficult. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that Jesus ran for the joy that was set before him. So we must ask then, where is the joy in going to the cross? Where is the joy in dying like a criminal? Where the joy is being rejected for those you love? For Jesus, it was time when salvation would be ultimately complete. This is why he could consider it a joy, because he knew that salvation would come. Sin forever would be destroyed. Satan forever would be banished. So in our trials and tests, brethren, are we able to look past the present trials and tests that we are having now and going through all these things, looking forward to the day when Christ returns? You know, this is what Christ was doing, as you know, during the suffering. He ran his race that he may have eternal life with us in his kingdom, that we would have eternal life with us in his kingdom. Christ already has eternal life. The race then in the Christian life is not a sprint type of a race. You know, a sprint type, take off, you don't go but maybe 200 yards and it's over. But as I said before, a marathon type of race is what we have been given to do. We are called to stay the course and remain faithful to the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as we come to the end here. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. We read that earlier, but it's just a second reminder as we see in Philippians chapter 3, our final scriptures here in Philippians chapter 3, another admonishment for all of us to remember. Begin reading in verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, in verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So a marathon is a strenuous test. It's a strenuous test of fitness and endurance. The race that is set before us, brethren, requires faith. It requires the faith, the stigma, commitment, desires, obedience, discipline, self-control, all of these goes with preparing for the fitness. The race set before us, we did not select it, God did. We did not establish it, God did. But we must stay the course, not giving up and falling away by the wayside in spite of trials and persecution. So the race demands that we do away with everything that hinders our spiritual growth. Everything that will slow us down, trip us up, we must remove. God is at work in us now, preparing us for the days ahead. We must not take this time of preparation lightly, but run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Happy Sabbath to everyone.